This podcast is a production of Unfiltered Studios. If you would like to know more about joining Unfiltered Studios, please visit our website at unfpod.com for more information.
This episode of the Fandalorian Podcast is brought to you by the Adler Real Estate Team. If you live in New York, anywhere between Manhattan and Montauk, and are looking to buy or sell, you need to call the Adler Real Estate Team. This real estate company is run by a husband and wife duo that, in addition to being real estate agents, are also a public school teacher and a police officer. It is a family-run business that gives you the attention and care you need when you're about to make one of the most important decisions of your life. And I know from experience. Also, if you mention that you are a fan of the Fandalorians, they will be able to get you up to $2,000 back at closing. It doesn't matter if you're buying or listing. So, if you are buying or selling anywhere from Manhattan to Montauk, call the Adler Real Estate Team at 631-384-6372. Or check out the website at adlerrealestateteam.com. Mention the Fandalorians and save today.
All right, welcome back, class. On today's episode, we discuss some recent controversies, dive deep into some recent trailers, and end with a quick pop-in with our thoughts on X-Men 97. All this and more in a pop culture roundup episode of The Fandalorians. Teachers by day, nerds by night.
That's the bell. Class is in session. Welcome to the Fandalorians Podcast. Teachers by day, nerds by night. As a proud part of Unfiltered Studios Podcasting Network, this is the number one public school teacher pop culture fandom podcast in the country. Here to give you all the latest news in the worlds of the multiverse of entertainment, and lively discussion on all matters of pop culture and fandom. We get new listeners all the time. Let me introduce myself. My name is Mitch Richmond, fourth grade teacher, and a man who is happy to do a podcast with just us guys for once. Not taking a shot at the people we've had as guests, but it's fun to be back together, just the three of us. We haven't done this since January.
Yeah, it's such low pressure that we are just screwing everything up. Even the internet doesn't want to work.
No, it's not. Normally we have a guest, and we're like, all right, this question, let's be ready. Nah, I just didn't prepare. I don't know what's going on. My mic's wrong. Everything's great.
You know what it's like? You know, the day after you get observed by an administrator, because then you know they're not coming back in, and you're like, all right, guys, what do you want
to
do?
Yeah, right. It's at least 5 days. I don't have to talk to you people. Co-teaching with me, high school teacher and very proud dad, Mr. McDonald.
Well, yeah, it's been quite the week in the McDonald household, because first we found out that my oldest son, Ryan, made National Junior Honor Society.
That's great.
And then hot off the presses, this announcement is not even 2 hours old. It hasn't even made it to the AP yet. Ryan made the junior high baseball team.
Oh, even better. Congratulations.
So he is quite the scholar athlete. We are all very proud of him.
So I want to add on to this. We need a Photoshop because Bryn has made the National Junior Honor Society as well. And we had to fill out this whole little form, and she had to get teachers to write this referral, and we have to do something for that. Yep. And she made the track team. We gotta get our kids don't hang out enough like we did. We need to get them together holding up their things, like, you know, and have them say, we'd like to thank our fathers for this moment.
I can't be outdone. So Layla,
let's go.
Also, she already is a current junior National Honor Society member.
Wait, can we just call today's episode the Proud Dad episode?
Yeah.
Proud Dads.
And my son, he's a National Honor Society student.
Wow.
And Layla runs track, too, besides being a champion gymnast.
Proud, proud parents here. Love it.
We have other kids, too. But we're not as proud of them.
Oh, I'm proud of
him. I'm kidding. No.
I mean, not right now, because Hayden didn't text me back for 24 hours. I'm like, where are you? Are you dead? What happened?
I need proof of life.
Yeah, don't you text me back.
Now, her friends who are listening to the podcast are like, go text your dad.
Right. She doesn't respond. When she needs money, though, that's when she responds. But it's all good. My other co-teacher, the man who has recently finished reading or listening to the Alice Network, Mr. G.
Yes, I just finished the other day. I totally was in the car in the parking lot at 98%. And I'm like, oh, I had to choose. I went to work. But I did think very hard. I double thought about it. But this is definitely, for me, a 5-star book. Now, looking...
How many hours?
12.
Okay.
12. I thought it was a 5-star book. It's an enthralling historical fiction novel. It's set in 1947, just after World War II, where the main character, Charlie, she goes to France looking for her cousin, who stopped sending her letters. So she wanted to find out what happened to her. And the story unfolds where she meets this other woman named Eve, who worked for the British government. And she was a spy during World War I. So now I believe she was 57 or something like that at the time this story takes place. So the book it's the kind of book that I like, because the flashbacks are on Eve being a spy. So it was a great book. I really enjoyed it. I think this book would 100% make a fantastic Netflix series.
So what you're telling us is you want to be the executive producer for a fantastic Netflix series.
Oh, for sure. For sure. The only thing this book didn't have that I normally like at the end of books, they usually have
adventuring?
No, there was adventuring. They were adventuring through the French countryside on more than one occasion. They usually have a post segment, a lot of books.
Like a coda?
You know, actually, I should say, you know what? At the end of the Kristen Hanna books, they always have like an interview with her where she talks about where she got the idea or where she got the research from her book. And this book didn't have it. And I like a book that tells you the historical, what the book was historically based on. If it was like based on a person, or if this was just historical fiction based on something, or was the Alice Network like a real thing? So that's something I could just Google, but I didn't.
Where's the fun in that?
Exactly.
All right, so let's talk about how you guys can support the show. Of course, start by asking your kids' teachers if they need anything. Look, it is now allergy season, which means it is even more tissue season. I mean, I just ran out of tissues, so I had to go buy my own. Now, I got a couple of shekels I think I can spare for that, but not every teacher should have to do that. Now, teachers from kindergarten to high school always need stuff, mostly tissues. Send your kid to school with a box of tissues with a note that says, "The Fandalorians told me to give these to you." Always check out TeePublic. I just bought myself another sweatshirt from the Fandalorians. The link to our storefront is on the bio. And always, all of our proceeds go to Lainey's Legacy of Hope. And it's a nonprofit organization that engages in fundraisers and activities to provide assistance for families with someone suffering from pediatric cancer. It's a volunteer-run program. There's no CEO. There's no board. So when you donate, 100% goes directly to the families. 100% of our cut goes directly to Lainey's Legacy of Hope. Check them out at laineyslegacy.org. And finally, if you are like us and live on Long Island, check out Red Shirt Comics in downtown Port Jefferson Village for your comic book needs. And for those listeners who don't, remember to shop at any of your local comic book shops. And now it's time for the morning announcements.
Fandalorian fans, won't you lend me an ear? I hope this podcast sound is crystal clear. Now listen up, people, I got something to say. These are the morning announcements for today.
Run, Diddy, run. Run, Barry, run. Some of you watch The Flash, we know. All right. Real quick, listen, we don't know a lot of information, but we do like to make jokes. FBI raided
Miami home. Can I just stop and interrupt you? When you said Run Diddy Run, I was thinking of Forrest Gump and you were thinking of The Flash. Oh. Way you know two different things.
I was
things.
Thinking of both of them. No, yeah, that's true. When both I work. Wrote Run Diddy Run, I was thinking Forrest, but then again, yes, I was thinking Flash just now. But they both work. It worked. You know what? All of us get it. So Forrest Gump fans are happy. The Flash fans are happy. And some people like both. Where was he
going?
But
you know who's not happy?
Oh, Diddy.
The Diddy fans.
No, Diddy. Why is that many left? Listen, the feds raided his Miami and California home at the same time. They clearly text each other and said, go. And then it was like watching a TV show. It was like drama. If you were paying attention, it was like he left the country. He's on a jet to someplace that doesn't have extradition laws. And then it was like he's not on the plane, but he put his stuff in the plane that they don't want to find and sent that to another country where they can't get it back. Then you got the video of his kids getting handcuffed on the front lawn in California. People were thinking about, oh, OJ, this is like real time. Like you're watching the fall of someone who's big. As you may or may not know, there were recent lawsuits against him from women claiming terrible things that he may have done, holding people hostage, among other things that I'm not going to get into. And he paid a lot of money to get these people to drop their cases. And if you pay people off, the feds are usually like, wait, why are they going to take the money? No, maybe you did it. And now they're coming at him. They bring him to his houses. He said a statement today saying, you know, this is untrue. I didn't do anything. Can we still play Diddy music? I don't know. I don't know anymore. Some of those songs can go anyway. All right, what do you thought about Diddy on the Run? Run Diddy.
Well, I mean, I got to tell you, after COVID, I stopped watching the news just because, especially during COVID, there was no news to report. And so everybody just kind of opinionates. So the way I get my news is via Twitter. And all of a sudden you kind of like backdoor hear it and be like, uh-oh, Diddy's out there. And I'm like, oh no, what did he do? And then I Googled it and I was like, oh, that's real bad. That's real bad. I mean, you get a little bit of OJ flashbacks. I mean, it does not look good for him. And then it's going to put us in anytime any pop culture icon does something horrible, you have to reevaluate their whole legacy. You know, you saw this with OJ and you're like, can we still watch The Naked Gun? And so, yeah, with Diddy, I mean, are we still going to be able to listen to any of his music? And it's just, I don't know, it just feels real problematic.
It's just another one falling. I mean, I'll go. It's just another one taking a fall. I'm going to go bigger than OJ. Yo, the Cosby Show is never on anymore.
And that that's very true. You're right.
Yo, Cosby Show was everywhere. My kids have never seen it, and it's not coming back. We're in the zone where if he didn't do the crazy stuff he did, that show 1,000% would be on NBC right now, rebooted for some season as he's a great grandpa. You know they would have brought it back. It was a cash cow. They didn't do it. Listen. Did he do it? Did he did it? Listen, if the feds pull up to your house, you did something. They do not come. If they are coordinating this between different coasts and preparing, if the feds show up, oh, they got something. This is just the icing on the cake because they had to get a warrant for all this stuff, especially if you're famous, because they can't take the chance with someone with money fighting the case. If they show up, something happened. I don't know what he did, didn't do, and if he's going to get caught. But it looks bad. And then when you pay off what the people were accusing him for in the past, and you, I don't know. I don't know about Diddy.
Well, listen, Cat Williams, he telegraphed this.
Yo, Cat did it.
From that interview that he did.
That is true.
The amount of things that pop up of people saying all this suspect stuff about Diddy, especially 50 Cent, who, hey, listen, if any of you are on social media, the best thing to follow is 50 Cent because he will troll everyone. He trolls Diddy all the time. He's like, oh, Diddy's done. Jay-Z's next on like a milk carton when no one's seen Jay-Z. 50 is terrible. He is so bad. But they've been saying things about stuff. We've heard things for years. And, you know, no one ever stuck. But listen, what you do in the dark will come to the light. Eventually, you catch up to you. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Who knows? This seems tough, though. Like,
well, I mean, look, this isn't Hollywood in the 1940s and 50s where you could legitimately do something horrible and no one would ever find out. So that's a good thing. It's a bad thing for people who commit crimes. But, you know, take that, evildoers. I don't know.
It's accountability. Don't do stuff good. And then think you can get away with it. Ding, times have changed. They come for you. So, you know, Diddy's on the run. I'm sure he's listening to our podcast, but we don't want him to be a listener anymore, did he?
We just lost a listener. He's like, yeah, oh, man, even the Mandalorians turned against me.
That's okay. He can go. He can take a few of those songs with him, too. Not the stuff with Biggie in it. Moving on. We got someone who's running away from Hollywood, trying to get away from being involved in crazy things, to Nelson Peltz, who wants to join the Disney board and get involved in crazy things. The best I can do, guys. You know,
it's actually pretty good. I'll allow it.
Thank you.
That one worked.
Nelson Peltz is an activist investor trying to win two Disney board seats. Here's the story. There's two seats on the board already for the Disney like panel. He wants to be one of those seats.
I was gonna say, how do you win two seats if you're one person?
I think it's him and someone else.
One for each cheek.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It's him and someone else, but he wants to win one of the two available slots, basically. Gotcha. I think that's what they're trying to say. And his way to suit, he has criticized the company's woke strategy because they prefer people to be asleep. Specifically questioning Marvel's Black Panther and the Marvels, which featured Black and women leads, respectively. The 81-year-old Peltz, who admitted to never claimed to have experience in the media business, made the comments about the Marvels and Black Panther in a recent interview with the Financial Times, where he said, quote, "Why do I have to have a Marvel movie that's all women?" he asked. "Not that I have anything against women, but why do I have to do that? Why can't I have a Marvels that are both? Why do I need an all-Black cast?" Peltz was asked about Kevin Feige. Should he be removed as president of Marvel Studios? He said, "I'm not ready to say that, but I question his record." Thoughts on his comments, and should he consider replacing Feige?
No. You know, at some point, like, and I don't want to be ageist here. He's 81. He definitely is from a different time, a different mindset, and it's just, you know, a point where these people just don't adapt to the way our culture has changed and the way people consume things has changed. And there's not one size fits all. It's all changed. And for him to say, well, I have no experience in this, but here's my money, so you need to listen to me, once again, is a very old way of doing business, I feel. And it shouldn't be that way. He's just old.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm old and I'm rich, so therefore I am important.
You are, Mr. McDonald?
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm assuming I'm like him. Everyone here knows I am the fourth most important person on this podcast.
Oh, okay.
And there's only three of us.
Yeah. Well, JD and the Band of Lions.
Yeah, JD's like, hey. Well, for me, I also think this is a bit of like kicking somebody when they're down, kind of like punching downward. Because, you know, it's low-hanging fruit. You know, Marvel right now is kind of in a creative lull, and it's so easy to blame that. I think it has more to do with a little bit of superhero fatigue and also the fact that the movies just weren't planned very well. I don't think it has anything to do with the race or gender of any of the stars of these movies. It's just, he's like, all right, you know, he thinks that by kicking on Feige, it's going to help him get that seat that he wants. And will it work? I don't know. But you don't think, you know, Feige's out there holding receipts, though.
For us, there is so much of it to consume. And we've talked about this before, the idea of being $1 million or whatever it is, multi-billion dollar movies, every single movie. I think it's just a thing of, once again, a thing of the past.
No, it's very true. Jimmy, what are your thoughts?
Tell me you've never seen a Marvel movie without telling me it. When you say, can I have a Marvels that are both? Okay, stop. You don't know what you're talking about. No one calls it a Marvels. Like, I've never heard that term for it. The idea of replacing Kevin Feige could be the stupidest thing I've ever heard. No one should ever say that out loud. That is insane. He has made $30 billion in about 14 years with these Marvel movies. And just to be clear, I actually researched how much all the movies cost to figure out what he actually, the thing is, how much like they actually made in profit. Combining the cost of all the films comes to about $7 billion. So he's made about $23 billion in profit in maybe 13 to 14 years. You can,
well, that's like a business term. Isn't that right? Like, that's something.
All right, welcome to economics class with Mr. Richardson.
Oh, yeah, yes. It's not even a business. It's just basic. It's made $23 billion for you that did not exist. When you take out our cost, it's just, this is how much money I've made. You cannot then say, I question his record. $23 billion? Like, you're richer because of what he pulled off.
Yeah.
Because he's invested in the company.
You're like, and then, you know that movie Endgame? That was me.
And then the Black Panther thing, it just it made $1.4 billion itself. Why do we need this movie? Well, $1.4 billion, you know, that's probably part of it. The Marvels only made $206 million, which is a lot. But it's also a sequel to Captain Marvel, which made $1.3 billion. So to question why we would do these when they made a ton of money, it just shows, like you said, low-hanging fruit. Hey, I think Marvel's down. Let me just say I'll replace the guy. That'll get people to be interested in my Marvels. You're not even calling it right. So, you know, he's dumb.
It's like, did you guys ever watch Arrested Development when the mom goes, go see yourself a Star War?
Yeah, you know what I also don't understand? Like, if you Google his name, it does pop up that say, like, in the thing, Disney activist Nelson Peltz, like, and then complains about being woke. That's like an oxymoron. Yeah. Like,
I don't understand.
I guess he's an activist, but just not in the way we think of activists or activism.
Yeah, he's an idiot. So. We're not replacing Feige, and I think they're making enough money. Listen, it's writing. It's some of the choices they made. Okay, but you're not replacing that. He's dumb. He just wants his seat. And, you know, Disney pushed back saying, hey, is this the guy you think should be on our board? He pretty much said, I don't want any movies with women and men in it, black men or minorities in it. Yeah, I don't know if we want to put them on there. All right, morning announcements are done. It's time to jump to the building meeting, and we're going to discuss some of these crazy trailers of all different shows and movies that have come out. Here we go.
Come on down to the building meeting. Come on down today. There's many things to talk about. Yes, you have to stay. Urgent things to discuss. So lose that face of disgust. No, this couldn't be an email. So come on down today. Building.
All right, that was a beautiful building meeting jingle. Sounded great as always. It's time for our assessment, our evaluation of these trailers that have dropped recently. Lots going on since the last time we spoke.
Did you just try to call it an assessment?
Yeah, it's an assessment.
Did. Yeah. I like it.
I know, I'm anti-assessment.
So am I, especially this time of year. But for
I'm pro-assessment.
You would be. You know, I'm against you on everything on this list, I'm pretty sure. Whatever you, just tell me which ones you like so I can tell you I don't like them. Right after you say it.
Would be. I just think of Yoda anytime someone says you would be.
He's coming up. He's coming up on my list. He's in this thing. All right. Before we go to Yoda, let's go to someone else who's relatively short. The Penguin. Based on the DC Comics character Penguin, it's a spinoff from the film Batman that came out in 2022. It's going to be on HBO Max. It explores the Penguin's rise to power in Gotham City's underworld. Colin Farrell returns as the Penguin. Here's some background knowledge. It takes place 1 week following the events of the Batman movie 2022. And again, his rise of power.
When I was a kid, there was a gangster, real old school type, Rex Calabrese. He was a big deal. He helped people. You saw you on the street, he'd call out to you. When I'm 14 or something, he has a heart attack and dies. Still holding a cigar. In my neighborhood, they throw a parade in his honor. A friggin' parade. I mean, it wasn't fancy. But it was a gesture. A show of love. What he meant. Can you imagine to be remembered like that?
On a scale of Monday to Friday, what do you think about this upcoming series? McDonald.
I'd go with a Tuesday for this. I mean, why do we need this? The only thing that kind of interests me at all is it's going to be modern and kind of flashback in that kind of Godfather 2 kind of way. And, you know, hopefully it kind of plays out like a mob show that just happens to have the specter of Batman in it. Will I watch it? This will be one of those ones I watch the first episode. And if I like it, I'll continue. But I don't know. It doesn't really super interest me. You guys?
I go two episodes in. Mr. G, I'm curious to see what you're going to watch, if at all. I think a better character could have been Two-Face. If you're really going to do it, the duality of his character and how he's somewhat psychotic and doesn't remember what he's doing could be more fun. Out of all the Batman villains, this is my least favorite that I just don't care about. I really just don't care. And him rising to power. So wow. My level of excitement would be probably a Monday. Like, I'm going to watch a couple. Maybe I don't care about the character. I think they could have been a better choice, but I have not seen it yet. And I didn't really care too much for the character's portrayal in the movie. So I don't know, Mr. J.
This is definitely a Monday. I have zero skin in this game. So I am definitely not going to watch this. I know that for sure. The only reason they picked the Penguin is just because Colin Farrell was a star. He's already a pre-existing character. There was left some intrigue. And once again, The Batman was a very gritty movie. So I feel like this does have the potential to be a good, like, grit kind of series with the overall feel, the way The Batman was filmed, the music, the angles and stuff like that. So I do feel like this will be a good gangster kind of movie, but it's just something I'm not going to watch. I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to watch it.
Okay, so Mr. G is clearly not going to watch it. I think we're clear.
No. I will say this. When you were saying he wasn't a character that you enjoyed, I actually liked the way they designed or the way they portrayed the Penguin as like what he looked like, rather than the Tim Burton, Danny Penguin. DeVito Penguin, that kind of living in the sewers thing, I always thought was dumb.
It was more comic accurate.
Oh, this one, yeah.
They play Penguin now as more of a mobster than a freak.
Yeah, that's what he's been in the comics for years. Yeah. Now. The freak thing went away a very long time ago.
Was he called the Penguin because he wore a tux?
No, because he was short and just kind of looked like a penguin the way he moved. That's what it was in the comics.
Comics, is that how
and
he
became the nose penguin? And everything, and he just had this whole penguin aspect to him, the way he laughed. It just, he became like the mobster in the comics and ran an underground club and did stuff shady like this. So,
well, it makes sense. Like, I get where the character came from. I just wasn't sure if that's where the motif for the Penguin came up.
Next, we go from Penguin, who was played by Danny DeVito, to Michael Keaton, who played Batman against Danny DeVito. Michael Keaton's back as Beetlejuice. That was a good one, right? Mm-hmm. I was trying to make that one work. Okay, it is called Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. Just two Beetlejuices, guys, because it's the sequel. If they do a third, it'll be three Beetlejuices. See? I figured it out. I'm so smart. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice is a sequel to Beetlejuice, which came out in 1988. Directed by Tim Burton again. Michael Keaton, Winona Ryder, Catherine O'Hara reprising their roles. Jenna Ortega's joining the show. Almost said the podcast, I wish. Winona Defoe is also here. It's coming out September 2024. Background knowledge for those who aren't familiar, because we do have people who haven't actually seen Beetlejuice. The first installment of Beetlejuice, again, 1988, revolved around a recently deceased couple as ghosts. Now they'll leave their home. And so they kind of hired a ghost called Beetlejuice, who has some charisma about
himself. He's got the riz.
Yeah, from the netherworld to scare out the new inhabitants. That was a basic plot of the 1988 film. This is a sequel to that.
Tell me, Mr. Tallyman, tally me juice is loose.
Scale of Monday to Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Who cares? How excited are you about this movie?
I'll go first.
Sure.
I saw the trailer. I was watching it. My son watched it. And he goes, didn't I watch the first one? I'm like, yeah, you watched like 20 minutes of it and you got up and left. he was not sustained to watch it. But I will tell you this. I like the idea of the family coming back. I think it's a great concept for a sequel, bringing back all those things. Catherine O'Hara, I saw her and I was like, my God, David. She just drips Moira when you see her now. And it made me chuckle. My only complaint about Beetlejuice, and I think this is a big complaint with a lot of things I say, HD filming is ruining everything. I don't know how you thought, like, Michael Keaton looked terrible. You could see every line, bit of makeup on his face. Like, it just
didn't look. But I also think you're supposed to.
No, like, he has, like, yes, Beetlejuice has, like, stuff on his body, like moss, like, to make him look like he's a dead, like, in the ground. But it you could 100% tell he's wearing makeup because of the HD film. And
what I thought was interesting is he has to wear less makeup to look old because he's old.
But they like painted it on, like, and to me it was just too much.
They may fix that. They do have like 7 months before it comes out.
Yeah, I know.
May, June, not really seven, but a long time. But I get your point. It does look a little bit.
Oh, so am I excited to see this?
Yeah.
I am not going to go to the movie theater to see this unless someone asks me to go, whether it's one of my children.
So we just have to get your kids' phone numbers and text them. Be like, tell your dad to go to the movies.
Listen, I've been waiting to go see Dune just to go by myself. And is it even in the theater still?
I haven't seen it yet either. I'm such a bad like pop culture consumer.
No, I want to see it. That was the one movie that I wanted to see in the theater. And once again, it's a problem with the way the industry works that movies don't hang around the theater long enough. They're like in and out because they got to go to DVD or to streaming.
I think they should move towards just let me buy it at home and watch it at home like they did during. I will pay the money that I would pay for a ticket and just watch it in my house.
But that's the problem. I don't want to watch it in my house because I want to see that particular movie in the theater. That's the movie I want to see.
Well, that's still in theaters. You should just go at that point.
Yeah, but I don't know for how long. Like when I'm ready to see it, when I'm ready to see it, it's not going to be there.
I have a feeling a movie like Dune can have a little bit of a longer theatrical run. Think about how long a movie like Oppenheimer took to come out on digital because they wanted it to run in theaters, because that's the kind of movie you want to see in theaters. Now, I think Beetlejuice would be fun to see in the theaters as well, but, you know, we'll see.
My excitement level is going to be a Wednesday, maybe Thursday, only because we have a guest who has reached out to me and wants to come on the podcast to cover this when it's done. So we're all going to have to see it. And I will reveal that guest to you off camera because I don't think I can say it now. But
it's Jenna Ortega.
No. It's actually someone we know. But she's
excited. Jenna Ortega.
All three of us know her. And she's excited. Can I come on for this? And so
I didn't know you knew Winona Ryder also.
Well, I know a lot of people. Listen. I do a lot of
stuff. I got podcasts. William Dafoe on speed dial over here.
He didn't call me back.
All right. In honor of Jenna Ortega, I'm going to give this excitement level of Wednesday.
Yes.
No, because also I am when I watched the trailer, I thought it was a little bit like scarier and darker than I expected because I don't remember the original being that like scary. It felt more like campy, but looking back, I guess it was a little bit, you know, it's the '80s. Everything was a little bit scary. Ghostbusters was scary. Beetlejuice was scary. So who knows? I mean, look, it might be good. It might not. It'll be worth a watch.
I really want it to be successful so they can make Beetlejuice.
Well, yes. Yeah. It's funny. I feel like they're also like carving in a niche of like legacy sequels, movies of sequels of movies that have been like 30 years or longer, because it happens a lot now. Thanks, well, that's Tom Cruise.
That's what they just fell into. They realized, they're like, what can we make some money with? We'll test this out. And it worked.
So wait, that tells me just about now we're going to get a Last Starfighter sequel.
Or you got to reboot that one. That's tough. Okay, Bad Boys 4. This summer, the world's favorite bad boys are back with their iconic mix of edge of the seat action and outrageous comedy. This time with a twist. Marvel's Miami's finest are on the run. I think if Marvel's were on, and obviously if their Marvel's are on the run, they need to be two white males. We don't want any trouble. Marvel's finest are on the run. Will Smith is back. Martin Lawrence return June 7th. Background knowledge: Will Smith has slapped Chris Rock.
Really, I love that you put that in case anyone was living under a rock.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't even mean to do that on purpose either, but
no. Wow, that's good too.
Hey, Reggie, did you eat my snacks?
No, sir.
You ate my snacks, didn't you?
You need to get a job.
I'm a U.S. Marine, sir.
Well, then you need to deploy.
Dad, look.
We now have evidence that the late Captain Conrad Howard of Miami PD was working directly with drug cartels for years.
Captain Howard is being framed. Let's go.
What the hell?
He's texting us from the other side.
No, he's not, Marcus.
If he's seeing this, I'm probably dead.
I don't know how high up this goes, but don't trust anybody. You're my bad boys. Now clear my name.
Okay, excitement level. I honestly didn't see 3. I know they're always a fun one. Like, just if it's on TV, I'd watch it because it's going to be a bunch of jokes. Look, and banter.
Here's
and
what's going to happen, Jimmy.
Comedy, but that's it.
Now, Jimmy, here's what's going to happen. 8 years from now, Bad Boys 4 is going to be on TNT in the background. He'd be like, huh, that wasn't bad. And you're never going to think about it ever again. No. I'm going to go Monday as well.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I'm not excited.
I don't think I've ever watched any of the Bad Boys movies.
Oh, 1 and 2 were fantastic.
First one was really fantastic. That one cracks me up to this day. They were that was prime Martin Lawrence and prime Will Smith.
Yeah.
Will Smith's first action movie, actually. That was his first action film. And after that, he just took off. He was still doing Fresh Prince. And they were like, hey. And I remember the story they tell that in that action sequence, the director, who was a director for Transformers, always blows things up. Like
Michael Bay. Yeah,
was trying to get him, you need to run with your shirt off in this scene because it's going to make you an action star. He's like, no, I'm not doing it. He's like, you have to. They fought back and forth. He was like, trust me, this is the scene that's going to make you a star. It's an action sequence. So they settled on an open shirt running. And it blew up, and then it became, oh my God, Will Smith's an action star. And then he said he always thanks Michael Bay. Yeah, you were right. You were right. Because it put him on the top, just as one scene in the middle, which he's chopping on cars and running through things. First one was great. Second one was good.
What you're telling me is I should teach with my shirt off?
It's the best. You know what? You might not want to do that. I don't think I think they shun that.
All right. Yeah. Okay, fine. Just an open shirt then.
Contact your rep. I don't know.
Yeah. Contact your union representative before. You do this at all. But it's funny you say that, Mr. Richardson, because whenever I'm in the halls walking, you know, in the morning before the kids are there.
Without your shirt on.
Yes, without my shirt on. The teachers are like walking down the hallway, going to the copy room, going here. There's always a point where there are 4 people walking down the hallway at the same time. And in my brain, I just think of like The Craft or any movie in the 90s where you see people walking down the hall and it's the wind.
Like a slow motion walk.
Slow motion, and they got the fan blowing on their stuff.
Behind them.
Yeah. It's just always thinking that. And the movie in the head. So was Bad Boys, was that his, you saying that was his first action before
that was his first movie
Independence
after
Day?
Fresh Prince. He did 7 Degrees of Separation.
Yeah, 6 Degrees of Separation, then Bad Boys. Then he did Independence Day.
And then
because that was Michael Bay. Bay. That was the other guys.
You two are like battling for this information right now, talking over each other. I don't know. Can you hear each other? You got your what are those things called?
To be fair, monitors said the exact same thing at the exact same times. I think it came out pretty clear.
It came out like stereo. It's
stereo. Yes.
Exactly.
Ready? We're harmonizing. I'll take the low part. Okay.
Okay. All right. That's all I can do. But you're not seeing it, Mr. G. Regardless.
Maybe I'll watch Bad Boys 1, but I don't know. I have a hard time going back and watching things, carving out time for myself because I don't know. I was watching Baby Goats on TikTok for a long time, and I'm like, I could have watched Bad Boys 1 in the amount of time I watched Baby Goats on TikTok.
You could see Tay Leone was also at the peak of her powers back then as well. I mean, it's just, it's such a good movie.
The first one was good. Next is Alien Romulus, seventh installment. Romulus?
Yep.
Like Romulans. Okay. Yeah, that's Star Trek, though. Seventh installment of the Alien franchise, set between the events of Alien, which came out in 1979, and Aliens, which came out in 1986, but they're not set in those time periods, so it doesn't really matter that it's occurring between them, which is the weirdest thing to me. Story concerns a group of young space colonizers who, while scavenging a derelict space station, come face-to-face with the most terrifying life form in the universe, August 16th. That just sounds like the plot of every Aliens film. You have a bunch of people showing up.
I was wrong. It was so wrong. I'm so sorry.
Danger. All personnel must evacuate to emergency shuttles immediately.
Something is inside the ship. Something we do not know.
You have no idea what's out there. That thing will show no mercy. When it comes to killing you,
I'll say mine. It just doesn't make any sense why it takes place between Alien and Aliens, because again, it's not the time period. They're in space. It's set in the future. Who cares? I know it got kind of weird towards the end of Aliens, but I don't know.
It's the past future or future past.
Yeah. But it's just like nothing happened between, I don't get it. They go on a space station and run across this species that's all over the galaxy. What is the time period, man? I'm curious to see if it does matter versus we just want you to know Sigourney Weaver's not going to be in it and don't think she should be in it. But anyway, August 16th, will I see it with my father? Probably, because he likes those films. But so that would give me a Thursday to Friday because he likes that. But other than that, I'm not really that interested. McDonald?
I'm going to go a Thursday with this as well. And it's just from the trailer, because Alien was the first sci-fi horror movie, and Aliens was the first sci-fi like action movie. I mean, these were two seminal movies of the last 50 years. And watching the trailer, it has the scares of Alien, and it looks like it has the kind of action of Aliens. So I'm hoping that they really do something nice, because the last couple of Alien movies, not good. Anything after pretty much Aliens. So I am curious to see what this is going to be like. Charlie?
Yes. So interesting.
Charlie's on his way. I can't wait to hear it. Let's go, Charlie. Let's go.
A little bit of knowledge. I'm not going to watch this at all. I, once again, another movie. I don't think I've actually watched either any of the Aliens movies at all. So Romulus, you know, is the legendary founder and the first king of Rome. I have a feeling it's more about the setting is more of the setting up of xenomorphs being a king alien, like the big one. I don't know what would be a Godzilla.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know what you mean. The main.
Yeah, like the king alien.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Mother Brain spawning all these aliens.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I can't wait to see it, though.
I'm not going to see it. We need to totally throw into this, I don't know how much information is in here, about Happy Gilmore 2.
I want more information before we, because it's not officially announced.
Oh.
No, wasn't?
No, it wasn't official. It wasn't from Happy Madison or anything like that.
I thought it was.
No, I thought it was. Hold on. About it.
No, ready? It says Billy Madison sequel reportedly in early development.
We can still talk about it. The rumor's out there. We can still say something.
Catch the cat. See what he knows about it.
We'll talk about it next week.
Catch the cat. See if he knows about it.
You know what? I am. Hang on. Ready? Let's just say it this way. At Mr. G's request, I'm going to text Cats live in the podcast. And if he comes back to us in time, we will know if this Happy Gilmore thing is happening, because I have so much to say.
But yeah.
Happy Gilmore.
Breaking news, live, 1 week delayed.
Yeah. Now, he responds now because sometimes he responds to me. He and I talk a lot. We're close friends, guys. We have our own separate podcast.
What a flex. Yeah, I know.
Listen, I talk to him all the time. He's on a flight. He puts out a little tweet, like, ask me any question. I'm like, yo, I'm just talking to him on the phone. Hey, man, how you doing? Good to see you. Jumping to the House of Dragons. First season received high positive reviews with praise towards in-character development, visual effects, writing, score by Raymond Jawandi, sure, and performances. However, the pacing, specifically the time jumps, the darker lighting in some scenes were criticized, not by me. The series premiere was watched by over 10 million viewers across the channels, the linear channels and HBO Max, a first day, biggest in HBO's history. Season 2 of The House of Dragons will continue the saga after the death of King... Brandon's responded. Let me finish this. Leading to... After the death of King... How do you say his name, McDonough? Because you're better at this than me.
Viserys.
Leading to a tumultuous succession crisis. Despite Princess Reyes, what is it?
Rhaenyra
being the rightful heir, Queen Go.
Alicent.
And Otto Hightower plot to place Aegon II.
Aegon.
I've heard it both ways. On Iron Throne, season one finale kicked off the Dance of the Dragons, setting a stage for more conflicts and obviously more dragons June 17th.
Many weeks ago, my lord husband was alive, and the realm was at peace. On his deathbed, he knew the realm would never accept a queen. Rhaenyra's supporters will believe what they wish, but Viserys wanted Aegon to succeed him.
They wish now not for the good of the realm, but for the satisfaction of vengeance.
Plot against the king, and I will pay it back 100 times over.
I'm as fearsome as any of them.
You have no idea the sacrifices that were made to put you on that throne.
My uncle is a challenge I welcome. If he dares face me.
We will prevail and bring forth peace. But you must accept that the path to victory now is one of violence.
Good.
To war, then.
Thoughts on this, and then I'm going to tell you what Brandon said. Go. What's your level, McDonald?
Oh, mine is like Friday, Super Friday, right before a break. And what I thought the smartest thing they ever did is two separate trailers. I don't know if you guys noticed, because they had the black trailer and the green trailer. Because one of the things that I always love, I teach law, and so I talk about this all the time, is that there are three versions of every story. There's my version, your version, and the truth. And so the green trailer was from one side, and it just said, you know, their arguments for being king. And then the black trailer was Aegon and Alicent's version and why they think they should be in charge. And it just gets you hyped. You're like, oh, this is going to be fun. So, yeah, Friday, right before vacation.
June 17th, it's something to live for, guys. I needed something to live for, and that's it. Clearly, not my family, not my kids. Yeah, I'm in for this. I'm excited. This was so good. I actually decided to watch Game of Thrones after being told for years to watch it and reluctantly, like, I'm not, that's not my thing. It's too many episodes. Actually, no, I don't say that. That's what you people say. But I was just like, eh, not really into it. And then after watching it, I'm like, all right, this could be good. And then Game of Thrones season one was ridiculously good. And season two took off in a way I wasn't expected. So I finished all of Game of Thrones because of how good this was. So I can't wait to watch this and then have the ooh, ah, because now I can connect the dots on things that I didn't do the first time because I had not seen it. Again, Friday before like summer vacation, like level of excitement for this, Charles.
I'm going to rain on your parade. I no longer hold a subscription to HBO Max, and I don't necessarily know if this will entice me enough to plop my money down. But with that said, I did really enjoy House of Dragons. It kind of ended on that cliffhanger. What was going to happen? You know, he got eaten by a dragon. Dragon going to poop him out. I don't know what's going to happen. I would like to see it maybe, but I don't know if I'm like super excited
to see.
So stay for the political intrigue. And the dragon poop.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Let's get to poop him out.
All right. Next up, before I get to this, though, here's what Brandon texted. I reached out. The question a few minutes ago, guys, was Happy Gilmore 2. Mr. G and I kind of basically said like Friday level of excitement. McDonald's like, no, don't talk about it. We don't know if it's happening. He's always trying to shut down fun. He really is. He's
you like a fun joy killer.
Always shutting down the fun.
I'm a joy thief. It's my favorite thing in the world to do.
I text Brandon, our unofficial official pop culture correspondent, and he said, well, I said, Happy Gilmore 2. Is this happening? We're live on the podcast. What do you got? His response goes, yeah, I have no clue if it's actually going to happen. You always hear chatter about long-awaited comedy sequels that go nowhere, but I'll go see if it does happen. I said, okay, I'm going to read this live on the podcast because I'm flexing. And he goes, happy to help with my non-existent information. So Brandon basically said it's happening. I that's how I'm reading that, as in he can't say
anything. No, he's basically saying he doesn't know what's happening.
He knows. He knows.
I don't think he thinks.
He can't take the chance.
He has just as much information.
So wait, 2 weeks from now when he gets announced as an executive producer for the movie, and Jimmy's like, see, I told you.
He knew what he's doing. Acolyte. The Acolyte, it's set at the end of the Star Wars franchise's High Republic era, approximately 100 years before Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace. It sees a respected Jedi Master investigating a series of crimes that bring him into conflict with a former Padawan learner and reveal sinister forces. It starts June 4th on Disney Plus.
Someone is killing Jedi. It doesn't make sense. What happened?
I sensed the darkness.
This isn't about good or bad. This is about power and who is allowed to use it.
What is that?
McDonald, what do you think?
I am also like Friday right before vacation. I mean, I can't believe both of these shows are coming out in June this year. This is excellent, because what I'm so interested about is this seems like a Jedi cop show. It's has nothing to do with the Skywalkers, which is the one thing I've been asking for a long, long time. And I have a feeling this could be a very, very, very interesting show. I am all in.
I'll back that. I think the trailer looked cool. It was a lot of stuff going on, and it's set in a period of Star Wars that there is a ton of fictionalized books. They actually have a whole new series of books, well, a couple years old now at this point, but of the High Republic. But I think it was a great jump or a great place to go in the timeline of Star Wars. So like Mr. McDonald said, I'm excited as well. I honestly don't understand the blowback, you know, people complaining about it. I think it looks great.
People always complain. That's just how it works.
Well, some people have a problem for every solution.
Now, I personally have never been on the whole get away from the Skywalkers campaign. I thought that was just a terrible... It's called bad writing. When you do terrible things with the characters, people don't want to see them anymore and they blame the character. I'm just happy to see something different. Like, everyone hates Skywalker. Oh, get away from Luke. But when he pulled up at the end of Mandalorian, people were jumping for joy to see him run around and do stuff.
I thought that was the worst episode. The absolute worst episode.
And I hated it. And a lot of people loved it.
You know why? Because that wasn't the Mandalorian. It was the Mandalorian. No, that wasn't Mandalorian. It was Boba Fett.
No, it was Mandalorian.
That was the book of Boba Fett that Luke Skywalker appeared.
Luke Skywalker.
It was the end of Mandalorian season two, where
he saved Baby Yoda and them from the ship. Not standing around talking to Ahsoka when he pulled out the lightsaber and went wreck shop all the way through the ship. It was loved everywhere because that's the Luke we all love, not the trash we got in Last Jedi. Last Jedi, listen, do something different. Last Jedi tried to do something different and failed because they screwed up trying to do something different. But Acolyte is different. Rogue One was different. Clone Wars cartoon was different. This is going to be different. It's going to be loved. I'm excited about it. I don't know anything about this universe or this time period, I should say. is this when they first encounter the Sith? That's what it kind of looked like in the trailer. Like, wait, what's this? Someone can kill a Jedi? Where? Who knows? I don't want to see Yoda. Don't connect it to anything. But if you do, I would not want to see that. But I don't care when they do Star Wars. I just like Star Wars. It could be during Skywalker's. It can be without. You do a good story, it works. And the only person who proved that to me is Mr. G. When he told me to watch Clone Wars, and I said, I don't really care. It's a time period. We know the ending. And he said, no, you got to watch it. I watched it. I loved it. And I always give him credit going, all right, I completely changed my view on time periods and time pieces. If you write a good story, even if you know the ending, they had me on the edge of my seat. That being said, though, again, this Friday vacation as well. It's all happening at the same time. There's a lot going on.
I think Yoda could 100% be in this movie because he was around. Yeah. And he wouldn't be young. He'd be not old, but he'd be,
he'd be not walking around shirtless like Will Smith.
Exactly. He's no Grogu. But who I want to see? I want to see, is it Hunan? No, the robot that was in Ahsoka. Because he's around.
Yeah.
He will be there because they show scenes with younglings, and that's where he's
been
was.
Around for 2,000 years or something like that.
What would make me so happy is if Yoda's in it, but he's not a part of it, as in you see him in the background. He's not a character. He doesn't even speak. You know he's in the scene, but it's not like we zoom in and they play this weird music and they're referencing him and he says something backwards and everyone turns. And no, just put him, sprinkle him in like an Easter egg, but I don't want him part of the story. But again, I'll like it either way.
I know where you're going to want to see him. They're going to show a scene where they're in the Jedi Academy, the Jedi Temple. They're in the cafeteria, and you're going to see Yoda trying to get some Jello or an apple in the back as he's walking around with his little tray in the back getting some food at lunch.
That's what I need.
No, they have to do it completely against character. They go to some strip club and all of a sudden you see Yoda there
and he's got tattoos and ear piercing going on
and he ends up speaking normal and it turns out he gets hit in the head and that's what makes him speak so weird.
This is the Yoda origin I need, guys. This explains a lot about Yoda. That's a spinoff I need to have. For our final segment, we're going to pop in and give our quick thoughts on X-Men 97. Just wrote that down, guys. See how prepared I am? This is not just safe. X-Men 97 was created, at least this version, created by Bo DeMeo, I think how you say his name, for Disney Plus. It's based on the Marvel Comics superhero team X-Men revival of the animated series that ran from 92 to 97, continuing where the story ends. X-Men facing new challenges, Magneto's in charge, Professor X is dead, quote unquote. Not really, though.
Wink, wink.
Yeah. It's produced by, because I had to go back and rewatch the series, it's produced by Marvel Studios Animation. DeMeo was serving as head writer for the first two seasons. He has been let go. It premiered its first two episodes on March 20th, critical acclaim. It hit the 4 million views mark on the first 5 days on Disney Plus. Everyone watching it, to the point where Disney's now talking to bringing back the Spider-Man series from the 90s, which crossed over to the X-Men many, many times. Biggest animated streaming debut on there since What If. It was bigger than some of the other things they've done. And now more people are actually watching the original animated series, which is all on Disney Plus. This has been a big win for Feige, a big win for their new animation department, which is really trying to condense and focus their shows together. We watched the first two episodes. What are your thoughts?
I'll go first.
Ah, Mr. G, animation, this is your field.
Exactly. So my first thought was, I wasn't a fan of the actual overall look of the cartoon. It just has a different feel than the original X-Men. And then I happened to be scrolling on TikTok in between baby goats running around. There was a guy talking about why it actually physically looks different. And I was like, I don't know if it's true, but it's 100% plausible. And I'm going to say it was true. He said just the way animation is created now versus back then, the technology used isn't done to like that. Like X-Men original X-Men animated cartoon was hand-drawn paper pencil. They don't animate anything like that anymore. So just based on the fact that everything is animated on computers, on screens, with drawing pencils on, for all intents and purposes, like an iPad type screen, that's why it actually looks different than the original X-Men. So I can get over the fact that it has that different feel to it, but I do like the way the animation in the original X-Men was way better than that one. So that was just my first little take.
Well, I know
on
you are always the animation expert out of all of us.
But I was going to say that the theme song slapped. They definitely did a nice keeping it real with that theme song.
And what I liked, I don't remember if they did this during the original run, but they used the theme song in the battles. And I was like, this works really, really nicely there. And so it was great. I really, really liked it. I thought it was super interesting. Mr. Richardson, you know, we try not to text about this on our group chat because we like our thoughts to be authentic. We try not to repeat ourselves. But the only thing that Mr. Richardson said is the first one is very nostalgic and the second one is very adult. And he was absolutely right, because the very first episode, within the first, I want to say 10 seconds, it puts you in that time and place where they scroll past as the camera moves. I don't know if you noticed it, but a pager store.
Yeah. There's a lot of...
And it's so 90s. I love it so much. Oh, and so, it was dripping with nostalgia. And then, you know... I got to tell you, I mean, nothing teaches civil rights like the X-Men. You know, you talk about hating people just to hate people. Why can't you just get over it? The friends of humanity and how they're angry. And it's a really nice way to show, because I've been watching ever since Avatar, the live action series came out. I've been watching the regular Avatar and Korra series with my kids, because it's awesome, number one, and it teaches you such adult things. But in X-Men, I watch it with the boys and I'm like, well, why do they hate them? And then they're like, well, they hate them just because they're different. And I'm like, well, you know what they're really talking about? And my 12-year-old, of course, does. But it was so well done that it threads the needle between cheesy 90s, because it is, you know, they always say to me, my X-Men, and you know, it is, that's so cheesy, but I love it. It's so good.
I love the, like, I text you guys, and I text Brandon that too. He thought I was a brilliant take, you know, Brandon, we're friends, guys. But the first episode was very nostalgia with the corny jokes, have us, you know, heads up and all that stuff. Hee ha ha, just like 90s corny. But episode two, it goes to a dark, dark
place. The Trial of Magneto.
Yeah, and the action is so corny in episode one, which is episode two, the violence. I mean, Cyclops is getting beat down to the point where he's bleeding from the mouth. And my favorite thing about this series, my 100% favorite thing, two things happen in episode two that just made me really happy. One, they go to a place and Wolverine's drinking a beer, clearly a beer, not a soda. He was drinking a beer in a cartoon. I'm like, oh, wow, we're just doing this now. This is great. He cursed like once. And then another thing that happened was they actually got Cyclops' powers right. And as someone who's read more comics than anyone I've ever known.
Did you see him land using his visor?
Without a parachute?
The worst thing
I've ever seen, and it always bothered me, is they always make it out like he has lasers from his eyes. I hated when they did in the cartoons. Even in the movies, he'll use a little visor and like burn through a hole and make a little thing. That is not how his powers ever worked in the comics. But they always would make it like lasers, little lasers, when it's really just like getting punched in the chest by a fist. It's just, it's a concussive force. It just, boom, it knocks you over. It's like getting sprayed with a fire hose, which will knock you back. That's how his powers have always been in the comics. I remember it. I remember I read a comic where the Fantastic Four is getting attacked by the X-Men. The thing gets shot by Cyclops and goes, that burns. And then Reed goes, wait, it can't burn. And things like, because Cyclops beams don't burn. They push you. So this isn't, turns out to be Skrulls, whatever. I've always remembered that. So for them to actually use it right, and him to fall the power, you know, without a parachute, like you said, and use it to land, or when he's like slamming guys all over the place and everything. It's the right use of power. They made Cyclops cool in like one episode when everyone was like, oh, Cyclops. I'm like, yo, this guy's pretty good. That, and then what's going to happen with the twist ending, Magneto, everything, Storm's story, which I kind of know where that's going because I read the comics. It's a lot. Even the Rogue and Magneto relationship where she can touch him is ripped right from the comics. There was a whole storyline with that. I'm like, wow, they're really doing that too. The whole, even the Gambit thing. So excited. There's a new episode I couldn't watch yet, but I'm going to watch when we're done with this. Really into the X-Men. Very, and they're, listen, picked up season 2, 7, 3. Do you think it's a problem that they got rid of the lead writer? I mean, I tried to research what happened according to the internets. He was a pain enough to work with, and he may have had some things on his social media accounts that Disney wasn't happy with. And that's the rumor. And then that account's been shut down. And
he's allegedly. Let's
go. Yeah.
We don't want our lawyer coming after us.
You know, if they're listening, that means we've done something right. But that's the rumor in multiple sites that he shut down his site and Disney was like, yeah, and you posted some things and we're trying to avoid trouble. But who knows? I don't know if it's going to change anything. They already wrote the 3 seasons. So
it seems like we are all very excited to see what happens this whole season. Do we know how many episodes this is?
I think it was 9.
I was going to say, it's going to be 10 or less because that's the magic number these days.
Yeah.
It's going to be 12 and a half.
No. Half episode. A be continued cliffhanger.
10 minutes and then all black screen because someone got knocked unconscious and you're just living in their head. I hear McDonald's looking up. I see the light reflecting on his face. He's going to give us the answer, guys. I could text Brandon. You know, he could just 10. Give it to me. It's 10. That's nice.
Yeah.
Listen.
Here are the titles. You ready? So episode 3 is Fire Made Flesh. Episode 4 is Motendo Life Death. Then 5 is Remember It. Then 6 is Life Death Part 2. Then Bright Eyes. Then a 3-parter, Tolerance is Extinction.
Ooh, that's a nice title.
Well, that right. They did mention that in the second episode when because remember Magneto is saying
Magneto.
Yes.
They laugh.
He was saying how. The idea of being tolerant is foreign to him because that's like losing because, you know, and it's very, very complex. So this whole tolerance is extinction should be fun.
All right. Let me ask you a question.
First, I have a question too. Three. Carly, you go first.
Here's my question. So the UN lady that's doing all is she's going to be a bad guy, right?
Cooper? The UN lady? No, she just works for the government. She's always been an ally of the X-Men, right. Valerie Cooper, I believe her name is.
Yes.
She's always been an ally for the X-Men. She's never been a villain, but she definitely played both sides as a politician.
Yeah.
She was always advocating for them.
Everybody is shades of gray.
Right. She wasn't always a villain, though. Now, could Mystique be her? You know, shapeshifter? That's what I kind of thought at first. But I don't know. Let me ask you this. Would you guys like all 10 episodes or do you like the spaced out? Because this is a good example. Because a lot of them now.
I like it week by week.
Oh, yes. I've always liked this episodic
thing.
Gives me
time to digest because, you know, like I see this, I'm watching 3 Body Problem right now and you plow through them and you're like, okay, now I'm done. Because it turns out I have no self-control.
Mm-hmm. I don't have time, but I like them spaced out because it gives me time to watch a few. And then if you miss one, yeah, you just have 2 waiting for you.
Because you don't want to spoil by the internet when all 10 come out at the same time. And so you're in a rush.
Pretty good.
Or your kid just watch all 10 episodes and you didn't even know. I'm like, geez, what was I doing that you watched 10 episodes? I was probably sleeping.
My favorite hobby.
Hayden was like, oh yeah, I watched all the Friends and all of Office this summer. When? How is that possible? You're never home. This doesn't make any sense.
So you know what's funny? Speaking of which, so I had a student come up to me and they said, hey mister, did you ever watch this old show called How I Met Your Mother?
Funny.
And then after that I was like, yeah, yeah. And they were like, I'm sure you watched The Office. I'm like, yeah, come on. It's like I'm so
I don't know if you got the age where you like I don't know if Ryan's watching this stuff yet, but because they're exactly the same age. Bryn is like deep into what was the cop show?
Cops.
No.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
She loves Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I love
Brooklyn. I really, Bryn's reached the point where she gets the jokes. And so she will watch, like, she started watching Psych with Hayden one day. She's like,
right,
this was really funny. Like, some of these things they're saying, I'm like, yeah, because you kind of half watched it when you were young and didn't get it. And now she's like laughing at Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Well, it's because girls mature earlier than boys. Ryan doesn't watch anything.
No, we sat her down for that. She'll watch, she's watching Walking Dead with Carter, watching Vampire Diaries with Melissa, and she was watching, Brooklyn Nine-Nine with me off and on. Like, she's just.
When Ryan around, won't even watch Stranger Things because he thinks it's scary.
My daughter,
she's obsessed with Stranger Things.
She was like, I'm going to watch Stranger Things. I'm like, go for it.
All right, guys, we talked about a lot today, but we're done. I think we're wrapping this up. We're almost done. We got to get out of here.
We've only been here for 7 hours.
I know, but this is the first episode with just us. It was good to get back together. Exactly. Less stress.
We got to meander. I'm a man of the tangent.
Went in and out. You know, it was like a good episode.
Yeah, it's right. It's like old times. All right. So for Mr. McDonald and Mr. G, I am Mr. Richardson. Thank you always for listening. And we'll talk to you next time.